Good. Who has a question? Or do we have it all figured out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, over here. Yep.
Excuse me. Can you hear? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, could you speak about Zionism? What is true Zionism versus perhaps what's backed by the Bank of England?
Sure.
I don't want to get real political on it, but this is a very pregnant question.
Sure. I'd be happy to respond to it in practical terms. Zionism. The implication is Zion. Okay. There is a spiritual Zion, the remnant Christian church. That's a spiritual Zion. There's a literal Zion, Israel proper, geographically, in the Middle East. It's still there. It always has been there. All right? But more particularly, it's the love and respect and honor for Zion according to the ancient prophets and the whole Bible as how the value, the significance that they place in the Bible toward Israel, toward God's chosen people. One example. Is every Jew a Zionist? No. Simple. If you go to Israel today, or anywhere you find around the world, you'll find ultra-Orthodox and some Orthodox Jews that are anti-Zionist. Well, what business do they have in being a Jew and being anti-Zion? It's like saying anti-Israel. They don't believe in their flag. They don't believe in their military. They don't believe that Israel is a nation, a bona fide legal nation. Why? Because they say Messiah has not come, therefore Israel is not Zion yet. I think that's a lot of malarkey, because Zion is there. And Israelis are fighting to keep that little piece of land, okay? There are a lot of anti-Zionists that go by anti-Semitic or replacement theology. They're anti-Zion. They don't love, they don't respect, they don't honor Israel. So I hope that gives you a perspective on what Zionism is and is not. Okay?
Del, is there original, for the reason that Israel was originally exiled to begin with, the reasons why God exiled them, is that a key to how and why, is it part of the plan on how they're going to return?
That's a great question. It's a loaded question, you know. The bottom line issue, if you didn't already know or suspect, is that they got exiled because they lost their communion with God the Father. They begin to get away from the Torah and the Sabbath and the feasts and begin to become materialistic and with different idols. And God says, Yavasta, enough is enough. Bamus, out. And so he allowed this heathen nations to be, as it were, a disciplinary nation, not to abuse their power, as in case of Spain or Portugal or Mexico or Rome or Babylon or Assyria, but then that's where they got heavy-handed, all right, and abused their power. God says, wait a minute, I didn't call you to help me to punish my people. I just called you to do this, 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 all right? So, what was the second part of your question, Jason? Oh. So that, yes, it does give, because the reverse is also true, right? So what is the clue about the return of the Jews? It's a hunger and a thirst and a yearning for God, the God of Israel, and the Israel of God, and the promises of God. And even though that maybe many Jews are focused just in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, Torah, All right? That's all right. But get it right, because the time is coming without our help. God is almighty. He who blinded or shaded the eyes of the Jews, Romans, Paul to the Romans, is the only one that can unblind them. I can't. You follow? He who blinded them is the only one that can unblind them. And it was only, if you read carefully, Romans is only for a season. It's not permanent and forever. So what is it going to be? A cry. And who are the, a cry from the human heart, but who are crying out to God if it's not redeemed Sephardim? It's the people of the Word. It's the people of after God. It's the people that I'm talking about that love God and yearn for God and yearn to fulfill His promises. So, yes, when you see that tendency of shining without blinding the truth of God's Word, because one thing that Jews, I know I'm going further than what you asked, but Jews, is if you begin to kind of shove Christendom and Christianity down their throat, forget it. They'll shut the doors and they'll kick you out, because it's a felony. It's a felony. It's a crime in Israel. So that be it so. But God is in charge of that. But nevertheless, who are the people that have ancestrally, historically, genealogically, genetically, all of these evidences are the crypto Jews that I've been discussing as of last night and this morning and just a little bit tonight, all right? That we cry after God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then that is the kind of people that we need in Israel, and particularly in the Negev. And then there'll be a voice of one crying in the desert, Isaiah 43, 4, 5. A voice of one crying in the desert. What? In the desert. What's a desert? Negev. Well, who are in the desert? The Sephardim. The prophets already said it. All right? Prepare the way for the Lord. That's the beginning of then the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Hope that kind of answered your question, Jason. Back there.
Oh. So we were discussing today the verse in Obadiah, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the cities of the Negev. Mm-hmm. So they're in Sepharad. Mm-hmm. They're in Spain. Mm-hmm. They're not all over the world then. Not all the Sephardim who are all over the world, but the ones who are in Spain are the ones, well, according to this verse, who will possess the cities.
Yeah. What happened, that's true, but Obadiah saw us through a prophetic telescope what was going to happen, that the Jews would wind up in Spain, Sepharad, okay? The point is that the government of the system, the inquisitional system in Spain, kicked them out in 1492. This is a paradox of sorts. When Helen and I were in Spain, nobody wanted to lay claim to the fact that they had Jewish blood. Oh, aquí no hay judíos. Give me a break. But that's all right. They were insistent. Just a few days ago, and I've known this all along, it was quoted in one of the Israeli newspapers, there is not a Spaniard without Jewish blood. The question, the paradox is that they're not all in Spain, Gail. We came, they went around the world. They went into the Middle East. They went into North Africa. They went into Europe. They went, a few went back to Jerusalem and Israel. But the majority, where did they go? Come on, guess. To the Americas. Over 500 million Hispanic Latinos in this continent, the whole continent, from Canada all the way down to Argentina and Chile, all right? Now take a percentage, just a percentage, even a tithe, or even two tithes of that. which would be very conservative, they have Jewish blood. I venture to say that the percentage is much higher, Gail. So yes, Obadiah says the exiles of Jerusalem that are, well, they are, but many of them were, because our forefathers crossed the border, crossed the big Atlantic with Columbus and the conquistadores and the explorers, and now we're here. Now we have all kinds of hard evidence to prove this situation. And you know about it, okay? Does it kind of answer?
Then I do understand it in relationship to he's talking, you know, with only knowing Spain. He didn't know about all the Spanish people who would go to the Americas when he was making this. But if I take it strictly as being prophetic to the future, then I wonder if they will come, that they will possess the Negev. They will be actually people from Spain.
Yeah.
From the actual land.
You're taking it, that's okay. You're taking it literally and specifically and concretely. Mm-hmm. If you remember Rabbi Chaim Dinovich and many other rabbis, Dr. Rabbi Magdi Angel of Shirith Israel in New York City, who has the historically first Spanish-Portuguese synagogue in New York City, a friend of mine, a colleague, a prolific author, the most eminent author on Sephardim, then we see the fact that many from Spain of the Sephardim. Sephardim comes from the word Sephardat. Sephardim are the Jews of Spain. Well, now they're over here, you follow, not in Spain. So the Sephardim, if you remember Rabbi Dinovich saying, they're around the world. Well, I focus just in America. I'm overwhelmed with just the U.S. of A., okay? With as many as we have here, this is enough to keep us busy for the rest of our life and our kids' life, okay? So they will return and occupy the Negev. But that's my perspective, okay? And it's you have to seek God on that perspective.
Okay, you got us started on studying the migration of the Jewish people several years ago. And so I'm going to put you on the spot and ask a political question, because we were really praying a while back about, will God bring a nationwide revival to the United States? There are those who say, we're cooked, we're done, ain't going to happen. But as we were praying, God said it would come through the Hispanic people. And so that was really a catalyst for the study and the research that we're doing and the books that we're writing. My question to you is, this is a political year. Walls and protection are huge in conversation on both sides of the fence. And I'm not talking about taking a side, but as we've studied the migration of the Jewish people, Ashkenazi, Sephardic, Ibrahim, we have seen God's blessing travel with them. The technology of this microphone, our cell phones, most of the things that we know and thrive on here in the United States came through the brilliance of Jewish minds. Even Bill Gates got over to Israel and said, there's no other place on the planet that has minds like this. Yeah. My question is, if they put up a wall, are we going to miss God's blessing?
If they, meaning who?
Mexico.
Oh,
if they try to shut it off. Is that God's plan?
That's a heavy statement. Yeah. Good question. Roger, oh my God. That's talking now about a lot of our ancestors and extended family members that we don't even know. It talks about, now it implicates politics and government and all of that. As you know, I believe. You're asking me. I could be wrong. And Helen and I don't even know if I can answer it properly, but there's so many of these aliens that come from south of the border that are descendants of the Inquisition. They're the children of the Inquisition. Not all of them, I can't say. But many of them. So we will put up the wall. What? might it not suffocate the blessings that God has intended? I'm going to let you all see God. And then we can talk next time privately, because this is a loaded issue. Well, where do I stand? Let me finish with this one thing. What I said earlier. Guys, look, folks. God has given us brilliance. Brilliance. We seek God, He will supernaturally show up. He will give us the answers. He will give us the plan. So, you follow? So, this is a tough one, Roger. Thanks for asking it. You owe me one. my wife wants to respond to this because this is so sensitive. Okay, con su permiso.
And then we've got three questions. We're going to go one, two, three.
I want to add to that, because sometimes we act like God's not in control. It doesn't matter what man plans. It doesn't matter what he does. He can build all the walls he wants. God has the final answer. He had it before the foundations of the earth. He knew you were going to be here today. He knows everything, so he gets all the credit. So we're not supposed to worry about anything. He is in control. It doesn't matter. You can build a wall here in Pagosa. You can build a wall in Mexico. It doesn't matter. God is going to have the final answer regardless.
So there.
Dr. Sanchez, I have a three-part question, as many of my questions are. The first part is, if it's so imperative for the following of the Torah and the feasts of Adonai and so on and so forth, how do we incorporate that into this process of helping the Sephardim to kind of transition from a lot of the Christian traditions, mm-hmm. right, which many times are rooted in paganism and mm-hmm. whole another discussion, mm-hmm. and to begin to introduce that in a way that mm-hmm. they can connect back to not only their mm-hmm. Genealogical heritage, but our spiritual heritage. Mm-hmm. Second question.
Let me answer that first question first, because I feel that it's going to get more loaded. Okay. This is another difficult question. Very, very, very difficult question, okay? How do you do that? Our people have been like children without fathers. I have a friend that was a member in my church, Ruben Reyna. Ruben Reyna didn't know who his father was, and when he, after he discovered that his aunt was not his mother, and when he finally discovered, this is a guy that I pastored, he discovered who his real mother was, she rejected him and fled from Ruben. It left him torn, literally. Our people have been torn from our ancestors, from our forefathers. We've not known who our forefathers were, truly. We've been told so many stories that we don't know. But one way that they're linking to their ancestral roots is through other Jews. Some of these Jews, many of our people, are going to wind up reconnecting with Jews and Israel, and they better know the culture. They better know the religious system and something about Israel. So how do you do it? It's on an individual case-by-case basis, individually and corporately, based on the direction, like Miss Helen said, my wife, that God will give you the answers. All right? God. But I will also say this, and I mentioned this to Justin just the other day. This is the time for the true, faithful, remnant, evangelical, Zionist church to shine. Israel needs the Zionist evangelical church more than ever before, because most of the mainline churches have turned their back on Israel. So you need, on the one hand, the strength of the evangelical Zionist church and the strength of those of us that have Jewish ancestry to connect with our Jewish family in Israel. I know I didn't answer exactly what you were asking because I could see behind your question, but that's okay, right? What's the second part of your question, JJ?
Is when this transition takes place back to the land, and it's kind of a follow-up on the first part, is linguistically, okay, if we're not properly prepared linguistically, culturally, the understandings of the Torah, being able to accurately or adequately possess the Negev, because in reading, I don't think it's just a geographical possession. We're also bringing back, you know, this tabernacle of David. There's all that's entailed with that. So in the process, it seems like there's several different layers that are there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we probably don't have the forum here to get into the specifics, but I guess as a congregation like here, what are some ways they can support those that, let's say, want to learn basic Hebrew or things of that nature, so that we're like ahead of the curve? Because if we're talking a 3 to 4 year span, that's a pretty fast track program there.
Sure. That's that second part or third part of your question? Okay. Here again, it's up to the local congregation and its leadership and seeking and crying out after God is how do we do this, okay? I think that if I were pastoring a church today, which I did for many years in time past, for almost quarter of a century, just following through on that quarter of a century of the same congregation that was virtually founded by my father in a poor census tract in San Antonio, if I had to do it all over, I would start with where does Yeshua fit in all of these typologies? Where is he in Torah? Where is he in the feasts? Where is he in Sabbath, Shabbat? Where is he in Shavuot and Pesach and Sukkot and Purim? Where is he? Where is he in all of these things? How does it all fit? And how does it make me a better believer? And if I have Jewish blood, how does it make me a better Jew? Or a better believer, believing Gentile, evangelical Christian? All right? So it goes back to the local church. Otherwise, there's a tendency, and I've made some mistakes, folks. I doubt that you all have made mistakes, huh? I've made some mistakes that I wish I could take back. But they were sincerely committed mistakes. You gotta take it slow and you gotta take it steady. You gotta corral, if you will, all of the flock. Come on, flock. Let's all come together. Come on, flock. That no soul left behind. No soul left behind. It's a tough situation. Because you got some elderly, you got some kids, you got some progressive, you got some young ones, you got some middle-aged, you got some old school, you got some new school. Oh, man, all together. That's the best that I could say right now. JJ, there's a third part to your question. Then we'll come to this.
Okay, here's the easy question. With our prayers.
Easy, hallelujah.
With our prayers, how do we effectively and fervently pray into, you know, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, but also praying for the full restoration of Israel, which, you know, the Sephardim, I think, is maybe, as you call it, the final exodus. We've seen this happen, you know, with the Ethiopian, the Russian, so on and so forth. What are some scriptures or some you know, overview that we can pray into that? Because without the prayer, you know, part one and two is irrelevant.
That's good. What did Apostle James say? Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. I'm not talking about working towards salvation to obtain salvation. I'm just showing as a fruit, the fruit that demonstrates that I am a believer. I am who I say I am. Fruit, works, mitzvot, good deeds. What good deeds? The deeds of the word, the deeds of Yeshua, the deeds of his parables and his teachings, okay? So I believe, having said that, you pray for the peace of Jerusalem and you put your faith to action. Well, how do you put your faith to action? Become a voice. Become a friend of Israel. Go to Israel. Befriend Israeli Jews. They'll love you for it. You say, well, I can't afford it. Well, maybe somebody else can. And there's people that can and will, and God will provide. If he wants you there, somebody said, where God guides, he provides. So show love in action. Love in action. Not just show me love, show it to me in action. That's what impresses Jews and Israelis. Helen and I have been in Israel 30 times. And let me just give you this quick example. We move on to the next question or so. And we were there when the Intifada broke out in 2000, September. We landed when the Intifada broke out. We were up in, where were we? Samaria, of all places, surrounded by Muslim villages. It was fiercely dense. The Muslims were uprising. It was fierce. I mean, helicopters, fighter jets, tanks, military equipment. I said, get me out of Samaria. So our next appointment was to go to the Negev. We go to the Negev at Kerem Shalom Kibbutz, which is right next to Egypt, abutting Gaza. We jumped from the pan into the fire. We were greeted with automatic gun fire, explosions, right? We didn't run. People were shocked. Israelis were shocked. Why didn't you go back home like all the other Americanos? This is home. And if it's meant for me to die, this is a good place to die. Well, then years later, we had a conference in Zeboker, the land of the cowboy, in the Negev. And why, guess what broke out? The Iraqi war. Con buen santo te encomiendas. The Iraqi war. We were ushered to, we were shown where our bunker is at, the safe room. Gas, chemical masks. We still have them. Very sophisticated, all right? And they asked us, do you want to go back home? No. Well, then you have to report to your embassy. I called up the American embassy there. I says, no, these are the ones, the few Americans that are going to stay, regardless of all those Scud missiles and all of that other junk. We're going to stay. We're going to finish our conference, and we're going to finish our itinerary. And there were Israeli Jews that wondered, well, what are you doing here? Everybody else is gone. It was like a ghost town, even in Jerusalem. That's kind of what I'm saying. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Maybe it's not meant for you. Maybe you're not that much of a daring individual. But when God has you there, he has you there. So you show your love in action. You pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray from here and shoot your prayer rockets there. Prayer rockets. Thank you. All right? And then you show up and you put boots up on the land and you show the people that you care and you love them and you are their friend. Et cetera, et cetera. Amen? Yes.
Okay, Del, I apologize if you answered this question because I couldn't be here at 6. But I do have a couple of comments. One, there was a Berlin Wall, and God took care of that one. And two, Gail, I don't know if you know, but I think it was in February of this year or towards the end of last year that Spain is now making available a citizenship to the descendants of the conquistadores, mm-hmm. and if you can prove that you're a descendant, mm-hmm. then you have Spanish citizenship. Mm-hmm. So that may be an answer to those Jews in that in regard
That's
to the...
That's a good point.
Yeah. So what Gail was saying was that she is aware of that and aware that the scripture can, God can be very literal. So things that can come back into play. Mm-hmm. I need some clarification. I've heard you speak before, Del. Mm-hmm. So my question to you about the Sephardim returning to Israel, are you saying, I understand the whole concept of the conquistadores and the people leaving Spain, mm-hmm. because I'm one of those descendants. Mm-hmm. My question to you the people making Aliyah back to Israel. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about people that are Christians? Mm-hmm. Or are you talking about people that are going to convert to Judaism?
Right.
So I need some clarification
sure.
on that.
Sure. Okay. That's another loaded question. Well, you all are full of loaded questions, huh?
Well, the reason no, I'm
but that's
asking,
okay, but it's an honest question.
It is
it's
an honest
vital.
Question. The reason I'm asking is if we're going to go back to sure. Israel, are we going back to Israel?
Sure.
Because part of what I've looked up is that in order to go back and make Aliyah, mm-hmm. they ask you, have you ever been mm-hmm. a believing Christian mm-hmm. or a Messianic Jew? Mm-hmm. So do you lie? Because I don't plan to get back to Israel. Mm-hmm. Because I said to the Lord, I really don't want to make Aliyah unless you absolutely want me to, I said, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I'm not averse to going back to Israel, but there's that question. And so,
sure.
and I also
sure.
understand people's rights and
sure.
to connect with their heritage and the need for that
yeah.
and to return to their origins. Mm-hmm. So I can understand if you are of the descendant and you want to proclaim and convert to Judaism. I understand that.
Well, yeah.
But what's confusing to me is, are you advocating that mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. of us that are believers mm-hmm. would return to Israel under that umbrella? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can understand why people
sure.
would do that.
Sure. That's an advanced question that, and I would love to just, in fact, we'll have next month, the 19th, 20th, and 21st in San Antonio, and Sephardic Anosim Conference to try to clarify this issue. Because a lot of our people, the crypto Jews, the Sephardic Anosim amongst our people, they're getting crushed. They're getting wasted. There's a conversion convulsion, a crisis right now that is emerging. With regard to, do you convert to Judaism under the halakha? What's halakha? The rabbinut? The rabbi's council? Or what? Because otherwise there's no making aliyah unless you convert. No. I am not advocating that. There is a conversion crisis that even Orthodox rabbis that I could name are citing that there is a crisis. A lot of our people, just by matter of fact, are found now falling through the cracks. They're drifting between worlds. They're neither here nor there. Well, what's here? What's there? They're neither among the Christian circles, and they're neither accepted in the Jewish circle. Well, where do they belong? Where do they go? It's a terrible feeling of rejection and alienation. I'm talking facts. I have stories and case studies to prove what I'm saying. So this is my response. And we sent this to the Ministry of Interior last October. Oh, Lord, give me words and wisdom here because we're being documented. Look at us and historically, government of Israel. Look at our ancestry, government of Israel. Look at our DNA, government of Israel. Look at our oral histories. Look at that social cultural phenomenon that proves we are of Jewish heritage. Now invite us in. We invite us in within this rubric, within this understanding that we are by blood, by ancestry, we are who we say we are. Here are the facts. Without having to undergo a conversion of halakha that, it's well intended, but it's treacherous. There's just too much to say. This is a whole book in itself. Please understand that if I had more time and energy, I would gladly tell you is that poquito a poquito, all right? Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. This is what I'm doing right now, just laying a line upon line, line upon line. I can't tell you everything. It'll burn your circuitry, and it'll burn mine too. We don't want to do that. Okay? Did it kind of satisfy? Yeah. Yeah. Now, praying for the peace of Jerusalem has another problem. Let me go back to what JJ says. This is very interesting because Jerusalem, spiritually, is the Jews, okay? Praying for the Jewish people, praying for the people that have Jewish blood and ancestry, such as the people I've just been discussing with you, okay? But this is where we have to be very sensitive and wise. A lot of well-intended Christian believers are alienating con que te crees muy judío. So you believe you're such a Jew. They alienate and reject. We've already gone through half a millennium of rejection. Why do you want to reject us again? We're just discovering our roots. We just discovered Pop and Mom, our forefathers. But then on the other hand, is the people that we're warming up to, help us, God, reject us. You're not Jewish enough. You're not halakha. You're not under the rabbis, the rabbinut. The chief rabbi doesn't acknowledge your conversion. And very often, even recently, I mean, they don't even acknowledge some of the orthodox, bona fide rabbis, rabbinical conversions of their own people, let alone us. So we're being, it's like, bang, we got hit here, and bang, we got here. And what's happened? They're floating. More and more, Helen and I are seeing clusters of people floating. Our people floating. They're neither here nor they're there. Justin, this is a major issue. It is a problem, but God will give you wisdom. Okay? Do I have all the answers? I've already said it. No, I don't. Okay. She has the mic, and then we'll go back to you. Okay? Yes, darling.
Dale, I just wanted to confirm that you said that God needed nurses and doctors. And through a dream, that is exactly what he told me. And I told him I couldn't do it because I had no credentials. And he said, you do not need credentials where I send you and what you need to do.
That's right.
And just showing up and being on time, like you said. And I think with that anointing that he has upon his people or his chosen people, whoever he wants to, spiritually, I think, people really just need to be fed and healed and listened to and ministered to. So when you were talking about the plan, you know, coming together and partnershiping with other Jews, making a plan and supporting Israel, you did answer that brief, you know, through prayer, first of all, for the peace of Jerusalem, but also... I don't feel called to do Aliyah or to go back to Israel for citizenship, but you once said that this was like little Israel, and I really believe that when our feet are planted and are, you know, here, and we're doing what God wants us to do to the best of our knowledge or what we think, what we hear. And guided by the Holy Spirit and remembering that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but through him, and remembering what Scripture tells us, you know, I think we can only do what we can do, and financially helping the Jews, I'm thinking in my mind, when they're here and they're coming for refuge, to do the best we can to help them, because financially sometimes you can't or other ways, but just doing the best that we know how and can.
That's right.
And so you did answer a bunch of questions already, but I have one thing that I wanted to ask, and that is, can you touch up? I understand that through the women of the Jewish descent, that there are some that have breast cancer. And I wasn't sure if you could, if that was a curse or is that a genetic? That's my question.
I believe that there's a thesis and there's an antithesis. There's always two sides to the coin. I believe it's a genetic situation, but then there are some that feel it's a curse. It's rough for me. I won't even go there. But yes, the issue is that many in New Mexico and the San Luis Valley, okay, have what's called BRCA, or BRCA1 or BRCA2, breast and ovarian cancer. So what about it? They are specifically or exclusively Jewish women's diseases. Jewish. Well, what are these Latinas, Hispanic ladies in northern New Mexico and up into the San Luis Valley in here in Colorado and being diagnosed with BRCA1 and BRCA2 breast and ovarian cancer? If they're not Jewish, they're Hispanic. It's just like a couple that we pastored many years ago. The mama took the little boy to the doctor. He was constantly sick. The doctor, the medical doctor, asked the mom, "Are you Jewish?" She said, "No, I'm Hispanic." Well, your little boy has a Jewish disease called the Mediterranean fever. That's Jewish. Well, wait a minute, but I'm Hispanic. Or you thought you were Hispanic, or you are culturally, you know, by nationality, but not by biology, not by ancestry. So this is an issue, all right? This is a serious issue. And I did, together with Bernadette Martinez of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Dr. a specialist in this particular strain of cancer. We did, Mary Christmas, I think is her name, a genealogist. We did a one-hour special feature, 1 hour, 90 minutes, about around the issue of the history and the disease of BRCA1 and BRCA2. All right. So now we not only have all these elements of social sciences and genetic DNA, but now we have medical science saying, boop, what you got here? All right. Hopefully this kind of answered your question. Justin here. Yeah.
I'm not very good at speaking in crowds. I get scared. But this is what I read in the Bible. This is not a question for you. This is what I know. Our God, Almighty Creator, Creator each and every human being in this world, He created us all equal. He didn't create no one better than no one else. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. We can't imagine how much He loves us. Well, He gave us our free choices, right? And our own free wills. And He gave us a brilliant mind. And we are what we are because our minds, the way we want to use them. He made us in His own image, right? So that's how I see it in the Bible. Each and everyone is created equal. And my question to you is, this is something I really need to know because I've been confused and I haven't heard anybody tell me the real truth. It does not make sense. What does the word Jew mean?
What
exactly?
Does the word Jew?
Why?
La pregunta?
What does? What exactly does the word Jew mean?
Okay.
Why?
Sure.
Are Jews?
Sure. I can.
More and also. Why are Jews different? Why are there Jews in different nationalities?
Sure. That's good.
Why are Jews God's chosen people? And why is Jerusalem the holy land? That's it. I want to know the real good answers to those questions.
Wow, I don't even know if I've got the real good answer for you tonight. I'll have to go next time I come. But you'll have to do your searching also, and you're interceding and crying, and God will speak to you. But the word Jew, simple, that's a piece of cake. That's a no-brainer. It comes from the word Judah. Jew, Judah. All right? So the word Jew is derived from Judah. What's Judah? The tribe of Judah. We all know that it was one of the 12 tribes from which King David descends, among all many, 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 many others, the biggest tribe, the strongest tribe of the 12, okay? It's derived before Jew, it was Hebrew. The first implication of the Jewish or the Israeli geography or the Israel nation is Hebrew. And Hebrew in the word Hebrew in Hebrew means to cross over. They crossed over the river. What river? The Rio Grande? No. They crossed over the Euphrates. They crossed over in the Middle East over to come into, okay, the land and ultimately into the across the Jordan. And so that group becomes, and who's the father of the Hebrew nation? It's Abraham. All right? Now, why does God call Israel chosen people, a holy land? It doesn't mean, it means that they have a holy purpose and destiny. God appointed them to be, listen con cuidado, God appointed Israel to be the light to all nations. God appointed them to teach Torah, which means Torah is not law. Torah is instruction. Technically, the word Torah is instruction, education. It doesn't mean law or legalism. It's just that we convoluted the name. I mean, the definition, we just don't know. Okay, so God made Israel, among many things, an example. And even Jews say, well, why did you bother to make me an example? Look at all the suffering we go through. What else is new? Okay, so why? It's because God chose them to be the light from where the light would stream to the whole world. They disobeyed, as many of us have throughout our life, but God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for Israel. Okay? I hope that at least answer one third of your question, and que te vayas a casa muy contentita, all right? That you will return home with at least part of your question answered, and you go happy home, rather than, well, those people couldn't even answer my simple question. I tried, but at least I think I answered half of it. Okay? No te oigo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 No. You're not mad with Israel, are you? You're not angry at Israel, are you? You're not angry at the Jews, because then that'd be angry. You'd be angry against yourself, against me. Okay? Because you see, the church, mira, escucha, Israel has a purpose. So does the remnant Christian church have a purpose. We have an incredible purpose. Ultimately, we are joint heirs with Israel. We are a commonwealth. So equal? There's nobody more equal than anybody else in God's economy. We're all made into the image of God. That's true. Likeness and image. But the Jews and the Israel were picked to be the light. In that, but the church has come in to now spread the light while Israel wakes up from its spiritual slumber. Amen. All right.
We want to wrap this up in 10 minutes just to honor everybody's time. We said 8 o'clock, so just a couple more questions.
My question was, Dr. Dale, how can we pray for you guys? You have a heavy load that you're carrying. It's like Moses taking the children of Israel out of Egypt. So how can we pray for you and Helen? Mm. What is the best way in which we can lift your hands in prayer?
Wow. That caps the questions here because it hits home. Pray for Helen. Pray for me. Pray for our energy. Pray for the wisdom. Pray for continuous, fresh revelation because we're like in dolores de parto. Dolores de parto is like labor pains, delivering the fruit of the spiritual womb And it's very painful because it's a revelation that we have not had. We've had a lot of good revelation all of our lives, but God is doing a new thing. He says to Isaiah, can you not see it? Can you not perceive it? I'm doing a new thing. Oh, but the new thing is so costly and painful. Am I relating to that? Or am I the only one that feels that way? We're at the cutting edge. You're at the cutting edge. You're going to go through labor pains, but that's okay. You're going to be all right, just like your sweet wife, Justin. She endured. She's well. The baby's well. She will live. She will not die. And that's the way it is with us, okay? That's the first thing. Pray out for our three kids. Pray for our 10 grandkids. Pray for our 4 great-grandbaby girls and those that are not yet born. And pray for people to help us to lift up our hands, you know, honestly, and to pick up the torch and take it where you got to take it and light the corner of your earth. God called me years ago. He says, son, will you do something for me? I want you to go and identify my heroes. I says, Lord, I don't know who your heroes are. He says, it takes one to know one. Oh, very philosophical, God. Hallelujah. Well, what do they look like? They're like sparks. What do you mean sparks? They're sparks in the dark. The darker the dark, the brighter the spark. Pray for the sparks in the dark, which is you. Pray for the heroes. Hello. Am I kidding you? I mean, I don't have time to kid around with these things. You're the heroes. You're the sparks in the dark. The darker the dark, the brighter the spark. So God is going to give you incredible revelation, but it's going to come with dolores de parto, with labor pains, with birth pains. But that's okay. You'll be all right. So that's the way you pray for us. Oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, and above all, raise up shepherds, Lord, that will shepherd these sheep. We can't be for all things to all people at all times. Hello? So raise up shepherds, Lord, after your heart, Father, please. They need sheep. They need shepherds. They need good shepherds unto the heart of the shepherd, the great good shepherd. So, with that, I could go on and on that list, but oh, raise up. That's one way that it could help us. How long do we have yet on earth? How long do I have to go? I don't know. I'm not getting any younger. And the challenge is wild, and the revelation is painful, but we're breaking through. We're breaking through, and we're going to see this in harmony with what is happening in Israel right now, breaking through. Breaking through. You think this is easy? We're fighting not with flesh and blood. We're not fighting with people or politics. We're fighting against principalities of darkness and rulers and forces in dark places. We're fighting against a hierarchy of darkness. Okay? That's what we're fighting. We're fighting for the soul and life of Israel and the soul and life of the remnant Christian church that is supposed to partner to fulfill end time prophecy. So kind of that gives you a hint on how to pray for us. Amen.
Good. Okay, so stay up here. For people to track with you, to stay in touch with you, you have a website and you also have a newsletter. Just give us a quick little information about that, how to find you online. Mm-hmm.
Okay, our website is www.AnusIm. Anusim is a Hebrew word that means those are people, like crypto Jews. AmericanAnusIm.org.
We'll put this on our website too, right under Dell's teaching. We'll have a click to his website. But just so if you want to write it down, great. But if you don't, write it down. Just go on our website. Yeah. Midweek, we'll have it up for you.
And they can request the. It's a free newsletter. It goes out monthly, and sometimes with a bi-monthly blurb. Okay, just by emailing me through the website, which is the easiest thing. If you want a direct symbol, negevdel@hotmail.com. That's me. Negev Dell, D-E-L-L, at hotmail.com. And you could just say, send me the newsletter. Thanks.
Good.